Take your Bible and turn to Ezekiel chapter number 22. Ezekiel chapter 22, destructive behavior number 25, about the weakness of men or weak men. Ezekiel chapter 22, and I want you to find verse number 28. Once you find it, if you would stand with me out of respect for God's word, Ezekiel chapter 22, starting with verse number 28, I'll read out loud and you can follow along silently. And the Bible says this, "And our prophets have daubed them with untempered mortar, seeing vanity and divining lies unto them, saying, Thus saith the Lord God, when the Lord hath not spoken. The people of the land have used oppression and exercised robbery and have vexed the poor and needy. Yea, they have oppressed the stranger wrongfully. And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. Therefore have I poured out my indignation upon them. I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath. Their own way have I recompensed upon their head, saith the Lord God." Notice there in verse number 30, God said, "I was looking for a man that would stand in the gap." In other words, there was a need, and I needed a man to meet that need, but I couldn't find one. And as a result of it, it says there that the land will be destroyed because there wasn't a man to step up to help protect the land or protect the need that God had presented. Again, the sermon's about weak men. So ladies, you can just go to sleep during church tonight. Of course, those of you that just say amen are the ones that sleep in church already. So, okay. Let me pray for us. Father, bless us tonight. Take the lesson and use it to better us, please. Holy Spirit of God, control what's heard and control what's said. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a seat, if you will. God said, "I'm looking for a man to stand in the gap." He said, "But I couldn't find one." He said, and that man was going to stand in the gap to help make up a difference in the land, and because I couldn't find a man, that the land will be destroyed. And so the whole series that we've been talking about, it's been on the subject of destructive behaviors. And tonight, I want to talk to the men. I want to talk to the young men. Ladies, obviously, you can listen in, and I'm sure you'll learn a little something. It's probably been known throughout history that there are basically three areas that are destructive for men. Fame, money, and women. Men, for some reason, let those three things overwhelm them, overtake them, and mess them up. I'm not really going to deal with the first two of those subjects tonight, fame or money. I'm going to talk to you about men and how women affect them. But I do want to make a quick comment about the subject of fame and the subject of money real quickly. I would say this, men, if I were you, I'd marry a woman who will let you be famous to her and then be satisfied with that. If you're not careful, men are always looking to be promoted in the eyes of women. And men can make a lot of mistakes if they're not careful. Hey, let your fame come from your children, from your household, and you'll be fine. You know, fame is a vain thing anyway. And really, honestly, folks, we ought to want to be known by God, not known by man. If you say, "I want a lot of people to know me," really, you ought to want to know God and God to know you. And you being famous, I don't think that is taught anywhere in the Bible that someone ought to be striving for fame. A lot of men have messed themselves up. Can you imagine some of what we'd call the worldly famous people, what would have happened if they would have used their talents and their abilities for Jesus? Oh, what we could have accomplished. Then, the thing of money. Money, the Bible says that the love of money is the root of all evil. Now, a lot of people misquote that. They say money is the root of all evil. That's not true. It's a love for money that is the root of all evil. But you're going to find out money does not satisfy. Most people that get the amount of money they want, doesn't take them any time at all. They want more and need more. So money's not going to solve every problem that you have. Hey, but I'll tell you this, men, marry a woman who's satisfied with nothing, and then everything you have will be a bonus. You say, does a woman like that exist? I don't know, but the closer you are to that, fellas, maintenance on a spoiled woman can run you in the ground. And might I say to all of us, the Bible says if we have food and clothing, we should be there with content. In other words, if you have enough food and you have enough clothing to be alive and be healthy, that's really what we need. Oh, I'm not saying you shouldn't try to achieve and accomplish in life. I'm saying that there are some people that are miserable because you can never give them enough and they never have enough. And God would rather we not think that way. Now, the whole teaching of tonight, though, it's not about the thought of fame. It's not about the thought of money. God said, I sought for a man to stand in the gap, and I found none. I suppose one of the greatest failures of men through history have been connected with women. Men have a weakness in regard to women. And men, according, you know, when God said, I sought for a man to stand in the gap and I found none, I would believe then that if one of the greatest failures of men through history have been their association with, or how they handle, how they treat, or how they chase after women, I'm going to guess one of the reasons why God doesn't find the men that He needs in that generation, and maybe the men that He needs in this generation, is because of this weakness that men tend to struggle with, and that of the opposite sex or women. Now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to take you to five, six, seven personalities in the Bible. I'm going to show you where the Bible shows us that these men had issues with women, and as a result of it, they were weakened or they failed. And you know, every church has got to have men to help lead the church. That's how God planned it. But there's a dearth. Now, I thank God our church has a lot of good men. There are a lot of good men in our church. Boy, you go to most churches, it's just filled with women and children. And that's a sad, sad thing, because God wanted the men to be in there and help to lead the church. And one of the reasons I think that you don't have as many men in the church as you need is because of the weaknesses of man, and one of which is the opposite sex or women. I'm going to talk to you about this idea of the weakness of man, which in this case is women. First of all, I want to talk to you about a man by the name of Samson. Samson got himself to the point where he was interested, he was more interested in a woman and being in the flesh than he was interested in being in the spirit. Let me read a couple of verses to you about Samson. In Judges 16:18, it says, and when Delilah saw that he had told her all of his heart, and then in verse 21 it says, but the Philistines took him and put out his eyes, and he did grind in the prison house. Here's what happened. It is said of Samson more than any other person in the Bible that the Spirit of the Lord had come upon him. There's nobody else in the Bible where God said the Spirit of the Lord was upon him more than it was said about Samson. Well, Samson got to associating with this gal by the name of Delilah, and he shouldn't have been around her. She wasn't the right kind of woman. She was of a heathen tribe, but he started wanting Delilah. Samson, if you all remember, Samson was the powerhouse. He was the big, big, strong, muscular man. And now he gets to associating with Delilah. He shouldn't have been around Delilah. She was the wrong woman for him. She was the wrong kind of woman for him. But he wanted her. And what ends up happening is she pulls out of him the secret of his strength. As a result of it, the Philistines, that's Samson's enemy, they come upon Samson, and where he would have normally been able to take on 600 or 700 men and defeat them all on his own, once she told of his secret was revealed, his strength ends up being taken away, and when the Philistines come upon him, what would have normally been a victory for Samson turned into a defeat. Matter of fact, his testimony, his body, and much of his life is destroyed, which meant a man that could have been powerful in the service of God and had up until that point been very powerful for God, he's now a weakling. And what they end up doing is they attack him, they put out his eyes, and then they chain him to a grinding mill, like a mill, like an animal, and he's out there just grinding the grain. Now let me explain. And this may be the key to all the rest of tonight's message. Every man in here, you ought to want the power of God on your life. You ought to want God to bless you and for God to have His power on your life. Don't ever give up that blessing, not even for a woman. Not even for a woman. Men, if you lust after women, you will not be lusting after God. If you're a married man, you need to want the woman that you have. If you're a single man, you need to want the woman that God would have you to have. But I'll tell you this, our nation is crazy with this thing of the opposite sex. And I'm trying to be careful because there are children in the house, but there's a problem in our country. There's no doubt about it. Men chasing after women and women after men, and the home is no longer what it used to be. Samson was more interested in that woman and the things of the flesh than Samson was interested in keeping his power and strength with God. Men, the best way, I'll promise you this, the best way for you not to lust after and chase after and be passionate after a bunch of women is to make sure that you lust after the power of God. A man that is filled with the Spirit of God is not going to make the mistake of chasing after unholy women. You need to be surrendered to God. Men, there's some of you, you don't understand. You becoming spiritual and doing spiritual things, that may be what's going to salvage your relationship with your spouse. So, you know, you ought to want to make sure your marriage stays strong. Men, I think you need to learn to win souls. I think you need to let your decisions be Spirit-led in this life. Samson, in this story, this is what's sad. You understand, Samson was the most powerful and probably, maybe, the most spiritual man on the face of the earth. And he let a woman pull him away from God, and he wanted intimacy more than he wanted God. And it cost him everything. Men, don't let that happen to you. God looked for a man to stand in the gap. He had one in Samson. Why did Samson get knocked out of the gap? Why did Samson get knocked out? It was a woman that did it to him. And he let that happen to him. Let me go on. Number two. Peter, he had a problem. I don't see a morality problem with Peter, but I think Peter had a little bit of a fear of women. In John chapter 18, verse number 17, what's happening is Jesus is being taken to a false trial. Peter is following Jesus afar off, and Peter stops to warm himself by a fire. Some people say he stopped to warm his hands by the devil's fire while he followed just behind Jesus on his way to the crucifixion. Now let me read to you from John chapter 18, verse number 17. The Bible says, "Then saith the damsel that kept the doors unto Peter, art not thou also one of this man's disciples? And he said, I am not." Let me explain. Peter's warming himself by the fire. Peter is supposed to be the prominent disciple of Jesus Christ. And a woman is there warming her hands by the same fire. And she said to Peter, she said, aren't you a Christian? That's basic. Said, aren't you with Christ? You understand the word Christian means Christ-like. You're part of Christ's team. And so she said, aren't you a Christian? And he said, nope, I'm not. Well, what happened to Peter? I happen to believe if a man would have asked him, he probably would have said, yes, I am. But a woman asked him. A little cowardly there, wasn't he? Men, let me explain something to you. Let the women around you know that you're Christian. Let them know. Don't be afraid of that. You'll take yourself out of being useful for God if you won't. I'm too ugly to have very many women ever flirt with me, but I know the two in my lifetime who have. When I said, ma'am, I'm a Baptist preacher and I'm very happily married, and it didn't take long, she was gone. Peter somehow at that moment had a fear of a woman. Maybe it was a fear of embarrassment, a fear of being associated with Christ. Maybe if you're single, you're afraid you won't get one unless you lower your standards to the world's way of thinking. Let me tell you something. Every young man in here, you lower your standards to get some Jezebel because you want a girl so bad, you just take whatever you can get your hands on. You will regret that day someday. You better let them know. You say, well, I wonder if it takes a while. I'd rather wait a while and get the right gal than take the first thing that comes along and end up with a mess in your life. I don't know why we would fear a woman, but I think Peter, for some reason, was afraid to say to that woman, I am a Christian. Men, if there's any woman around you anywhere and you're afraid to give your testimony and you're afraid to say you're a Christian and you're afraid to say you're born again, there's something wrong. And it's not with them, it's with you. You speak up and let it be known. He wanted to look good in her sight. Maybe he wanted to impress her. I don't know what happened, but I do know this. It went down in history that a woman asked him if he was with Jesus, and he didn't have the backbone to say, yes, I am. And I really believe, hey, look, this was Peter. It wasn't a long time ago. He was talking to the high priest and the assistant to the high priest. He took out a sword and whacked this guy's ear off. This guy came at him, and Peter said, no man going to come at me like that. I'll take your ear off. He took his ear off. Now he's at a fire with a woman. She said, are you a Christian? He said, I am not. What happened to him? He sure did have a meltdown, didn't he? What caused it? Perfume? Soft looking hair? Men, you do realize this has been a problem through history for men. Samson lost his power because of a woman. And I'm not blaming the women. And since Samson lost his power and he needed to wake up and realize a woman. Peter ends up going down in history denying Christ, but it wasn't to a man, it was to a woman. Thirdly, David let a woman keep him out of battle. In 2 Samuel chapter 11, let me read a couple of verses to you. Let's see. 2 Samuel chapter 11, I'll read verses 1 through 4. This is going to tell you the story of David and Bathsheba. It says, and it came to pass after the year was expired, at the time when kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab and his servant with him and all of Israel, and they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Rahab. But David tarried still at Jerusalem. And it came to pass in the evening tide that David arose from off his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman washing herself and was very beautiful to look upon. And David sent and inquired after the woman. And one said, is this not Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, and the wife of Uriah the Hittite? David sent messengers unto her, and she came in unto him, and he lay with her, for she was purified from her uncleanness, and she returned into her house. This is the story of David and Bathsheba. Many of you have heard the story over and over again. David, the Bible says that at a certain time, it was a time when kings go to battle, but David didn't go to battle. He stayed home. When he stayed home, he went to his rooftop, and there was a woman next door that was bathing without, sunbathing, if you will, bathing without her clothes on. David looked at her, and the best thing he could have done when he went up there and he seen that, and he knew that wasn't his woman, belonged to another man. She was married to another man. He should have closed his eyes and got off the roof, but he didn't. He took another look and then another, and before long he was lusting after her, and having all the power as a leader of the country that he had, he said to somebody, go get her. And he ended up having a sexual relationship with her. Oh, and by the way, there's pregnancy and everything else that ends up coming out of this whole thing. Let me tell you something. He should have been at battle. He should have been at battle. Men, I would recommend this to you. Join the Lord's army. Stay at battle with wrong. You know, I realize there are men that are busy doing right that make mistakes and they mess up. But can I tell you something? The men that are not busy at doing right are many times already messing up. One of the best ways to help yourself not to make mistakes like David did is when it's time to go to battle for the Lord, go to battle. Go to battle. Be where you're supposed to be. Hey, serve God. Get in the battle. He lost, and in a way, I suppose you could say, David lost his battle strength to a woman. So David stayed home from battle. As a result of it, David ends up committing this terrible sin. David loses strength, and he loses the respect of people, and he really made a mess of his life. Remember, God said, I was looking for a man to stand in the gap, but I couldn't find one. And as I analyzed that thought, I thought, you know, one of the main reasons why God can't find men to stand in the gap is they don't handle themselves well and right around women. Samson loses his power to a woman. Peter is afraid of a woman. David should have ran from the temptation instead of running into it. And once he saw what he shouldn't see, he should have looked away and made it so he couldn't see it anymore. But he didn't guard his eyes. And so now he's created a mess. Let me go on. Solomon. Solomon, he was a womanizer. There's just no doubt about that. Let me read to you from 1 Kings chapter 11. I'm going to read verse 1 through 3. It says, "But King Solomon loved many strange women." I wish I could take the time to analyze the word strange women. You can do that on your own. "But King Solomon loved many strange women, together with the daughter of Pharaoh's women, of the Moabites, the Ammonites, Edomites, Sidonites, and the Hittites, of the nations concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, You shall not go into them, neither shall they come in unto you, for surely they will turn away your heart after their gods. Solomon clave unto these in love. And when he had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines," that's substitute wives, "and his wives turned away his heart. For it came to pass, when Solomon was old, that his wives turned away his heart after other gods, and his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God." Huh. Solomon was a womanizer and chased after women. And let me tell you something that I'd like to prove to all men in here. Having more women does not satisfy. Here's a guy that had 1,000. Didn't satisfy. Satisfaction is not found in what you have. Satisfaction is found in what you are. So I'm just not satisfied with what I have. That's your problem. It's not what you have. It's not the object's problem. It's your problem. You could choose to be satisfied if you want to. Solomon is a womanizer. Man, he's all over this thing. I think he's got lust problems. Married men, let me tell you something. I don't think you ought to be flirting. I don't think you ought to flirt at work. I think you ought to be loyal and faithful to your wife. You need to keep your eyes on your woman and not on everybody else's woman. And you young men, when you get married, you'll have a wife, and then you'll have your needs met through God's way of having those needs met. But men, keep yourself away from the pornography. Keep yourself away from that sort of stuff. It'll ruin you. God said, "I sought for a man to stand in the gap, but I couldn't find one." You understand that at this point in David, you understand in Solomon's life, the Bible actually says he got to chasing after all these women and they pulled his heart away from God. It is said that Solomon is the wisest man in the entire Bible outside of Jesus Christ. We can say that if you'd like to, but I don't think you got to be real wise to have. I don't think it's real wise to have 1,000 wives. I just great tax write-off. But as far as the nylon thing hanging over the shower curtain, you got a real mess on your hands with 1,000 of them. Can you imagine where they stored all the shoes? So God was looking for a man. He said, "I need a man that can stand in the gap." And Samson had been standing in the gap, but Samson said, "I want a woman more than I want God's power." And so he lost his power. And by the way, he lost the women too. Peter, who would stand in the gap, he fears a woman while Jesus is about to be crucified. And so Peter is intimidated by a woman, won't even admit he's a Christian. David sees a woman, and when he should have been at battle, he ends up giving his battle strength to a woman. Solomon, 700 wives, 300 concubines or combines if they were larger women, but there's a lust problem there with Solomon. But let me go on. Ahab could have been a good man. Ahab was a leader in the Old Testament. Ahab was kind of a sissy britches, kind of a husband. 1 Kings chapter 21 verse 7 it says, "And Jezebel his wife said unto him, Dost thou not now govern?" Here's the story. There was a man by the name of Naboth. He owned a vineyard. And Ahab wanted that vineyard. Ahab was the king. Naboth owned a vineyard. And Ahab wanted to buy Naboth's vineyard. But Naboth said, "I can't sell you this vineyard. It's my inheritance." So Ahab went home. Now, those of you that are not familiar with this story, you're going to hear a name in a moment. You're going to say, "I've heard that name before." Ahab goes home to his wife, whose name is Jezebel. And he's got this sad look on his face because he had this conversation. King Ahab wanted something. Naboth wouldn't give it to him. So Ahab goes home, and he's got his poochy lip. He's pouting. And his wife, Jezebel, says, "What's wrong, baby?" He said, "That Naboth wouldn't give me the vineyard." And she said unto him, "You're in charge of everything here." And then she said, "Go to your room." And he did. He went to his room and turned his face toward the wall. And she said, "Don't worry, I'll take care of everything." And you all know the name Jezebel, that's nobody names their favorite puppy Jezebel. They name their mother-in-law that, but they will not name things that are precious to them that. So Jezebel has this guy killed and takes a vineyard and everything. But what she said to him is, Jezebel said to Ahab, "You're supposed to be in charge. Because you won't step up, I will. Go to your room and pout, and I'll take care of this." She was more a man than he was. He was a hen-pecked man. Men, can I tell you something? God tells a man he's to be the head of the household. But let me explain something. Before you say, "I'm going to be the head of my household," you got to be the head of you before you can be the head of your household. Because if you can't control you, you're going to have a hard time controlling those around you. But Ahab was henpecked, and I think he brought it on. You do understand, she said, "You're supposed to be in charge, but again, it's obvious you're not. So I will step up and attend to this matter." Men, I can tell you something. If you would like to develop leadership in your life, learn to make good, solid decisions. Learn to do the man thing. Take care of your responsibility. Don't blame everything else and everybody else for your failures. Be a man. If a man will be a man, most women will fall in line. But when a man won't, you say, "Well, my wife's acting like a Jezebel." Well, Jezebel stepped up because the man was a twerp. So if you call your wife a Jezebel, you might be the twerp Ahab. Okay, we'll go on. You can't take a lot of that. Number 6, there's a man named Herod in the Bible. Herod did wrong to a man of God because of a woman. I'm going to read to you from Matthew chapter 14, verse 7, 8, 9. The Bible says, I'll go to verse number 6. It says, "But when Herod's birthday was kept, the daughter of Herodias danced before them and pleased Herod, whereupon he promised with an oath to give her whatsoever she would ask. And she, being before instructed of her mother, said, 'Give me here John Baptist's head in a charger.' And the king was sorry, nevertheless, for the oath's sake, and them which sat with him at meat, he commanded it to be given her." Here's what happened. John the Baptist had been arrested, and he had not broken any of God's laws or anything. They were mad at him because he was preaching against immorality. And Herod's birthday had come, and his niece danced a lewd, nasty dance for him. And she got Herod so wound up, he said, "Young lady, I'll give you anything you want." And her mom had said, if he offers you something, you tell him you want John the Baptist's head cut off. Because she hated John the Baptist. Because John the Baptist called her an adulteress. So she put on this show. And believe me, she went out there just doing a two-step. It was a wicked, vile, striptease kind of a dance. And when she got done, King Herod said, "I'll give you whatever you want." She said, "I want John the Baptist's head." And the Bible says Herod was sorry. He thought, "Oh, brother, I don't want to cut that preacher's head off." But he said, but I promised. I gave my word in front of everybody. You know that John the Baptist got his head cut off because a woman danced? Herod let that passionate, fleshly situation cause him to murder the greatest preacher on the face of the earth at that time. Sad thing. Men, let me tell you something. Make sure you've got your passions under control. You have, and I think the men that have a couple years on you here, I think you do understand, if you don't harness your passion, it will harness you. listen, what a sad story that John the Baptist has his head cut off because a man can't control his passions. And God said, I sought for a man to stand in the gap, but I couldn't find any. Said, the land will be destroyed because there are not any men that can control themselves. But I wish I could go to all the churches across America and say, I wish we had some men that would step up, control themselves, do the right thing, show up where they're supposed to be, do what they're supposed to be, control themselves, tell the truth, be clean, be decent, be honest, and be a man. It's hard to find. It is hard to find. Let me give you a couple others and we'll be done. Luke chapter 14, verse number 20. Those of you that will marry, let me warn you, young men, I'm going to read to you Luke 14:20. It says this, and another said, I have married a wife, I therefore cannot come. Listen, look up this way and listen. This is a story where they were needing some people to get involved in a good, godly work. And everybody starts making up excuses as to why they can't do what God wants them to do. And there's one man, obviously a young man, he said, I just married a wife. I can't make it. Well, I would say this. This newly married young man, if he's not careful, he'll find himself out of God's will and he'll find himself out of church. Let me tell you, those of you that have been married in the last couple of years and those of you that will marry in the next couple of years, young men, be careful. Keep your family in church. People can get married. And then, you know, hey, the married life does have its complications. Whoever said it's cheaper for two to live than one was a total knucklehead. Well, it's not cheaper for two to live than one. But boy, you get married, and if you're not careful, you'll find yourself out of church. And when you start having children before long, there are people that were as faithful to God as they could be, got married, and they're just hit and miss anymore, and they're just so caught up in their marriage, and they're not mature enough, adult enough, to realize there is a way to work out the problems and still be in church. I'd just be careful. Here is a man that begins to make excuses right after he got married. And he said, well, I got married. I just don't have time to serve God anymore. Now, I think somebody can get so busy doing so many things that they ignore their family and ignore their marriage. I think that's bad. But that's not the case here. This is somebody that didn't necessarily, they weren't so busy they couldn't, they just didn't. And they began to use their family and they used their marriage as an excuse. So, I sought for a man to stand in the gap. I couldn't find. Here's a young man that wouldn't stand in the gap. You have a wise man that, you know, Solomon, that wouldn't stand in the gap. You got a henpecked man that wouldn't stand in the gap. You got a powerhouse that couldn't stand in the gap because he couldn't control himself. You got a king that couldn't control himself. Wow. Peter, the first pope, he couldn't control himself. Man, I got to thinking about Adam. There's one part of this whole story of Adam that really, really bothers me. You realize that when Adam and Eve, they took the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and they end up realizing they're naked now, and God comes to Adam and he says, what you been up to, Adam? Do you know what he does? He says, Eve! Eve caused this. Adam blames his woman for his failure. Genesis chapter 3, verse 12 and 13, God said, Adam, what is going on? See, they had taken to the knowledge of the tree of good and evil. Prior to that, they did not know that being unclothed was wrong. Now they've sewn fig leaves together and they're trying to cover up their sin. And God comes to Adam. Now, of course, God already knows what's going on, but he was going to have a little conversation with Adam to see how Adam responds. He says, Adam, who told you were naked and what's going on here? And this is what he says. This is what Adam says in Genesis chapter 3. He says, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me. He blamed Eve. I want you also to know, he blamed God too. He said, the woman you gave me. So God, you and the woman boogered up my testimony. Man, you talk about throwing people under the bus. It's the woman. God said, no. Well, then it was you, because you gave her to me. You didn't pick right. Listen to this. 1 Timothy 2:14 says this, and Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. God said, Eve was deceived in taking of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Adam was not deceived. You say, well, why did Adam take it? Because Adam wanted Eve. Adam wanted Eve. So Adam took of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil because Eve did. Eve had been fooled by the devil. Adam walked right into it. He said, I want her. She took of the tree. I'm taking the tree. Man, let me tell you something. You understand how bad the human race has been messed up since that man couldn't stand on his own 2 feet? We live it, and there are people that would turn their nose up at a lesson like this, and I'm not even teaching it hard. Boy, there are things I could be saying right now that would curl your toes. But this thing of manhood in America is anemic today. It is sad. Let me tell you this. And ladies, so you understand me, there are ladies that have to step up and run the home spiritually and financially and everything else. And a man says, well, I don't think a woman ought to be like that. Most women wouldn't have to do that if the men would. I don't. Most of the time, I don't fault a woman. I think there are some women that are just out of control. But I'll tell you what, most women that step up have to step up because the man won't step up and they do what they have to do to get the job done. You talk about women going into combat in the army. We want to blame the ladies for that. Really, if you had men that would step up for combat in the army, you wouldn't need women that would do it. You talk about women running the government. Well, you wouldn't have to have that if you had men that had a brain on their in their head to help run a government. People say, well, you got women running the church. Well, you wouldn't have to have so many women so strongly involved in the church if the men would just get involved in the church. But they've got every excuse under the sun why they can't, and they make all sorts of excuses. And they're so fleshly. They're like Samson. They're more interested in the fleshly part of life than they are the spiritual part. I'll tell you this. I've seen some women that can run circles around men spiritually. I'll tell you also, we're in a battle. I've seen times I'd rather have certain women in the foxhole with me than men, because men are wimpy, twerpy, excuse-making, lazy. I'd rather be with somebody that's willing to fight the battle. Well, it's obvious that throughout the Bible, there's a lot of times when men should have stepped up and they didn't. It's no wonder that God in Ezekiel 22 said, I sought for a man to stand in the gap, but I couldn't find none. And so there was destruction in the land. I'm always glad when somebody, some man does right. And ladies, I have high admiration and high respect for you. I think our country would be in 10 times better shape if men would just get back to being godly, spiritual men. We need a revival of manhood in our country. But it's just not like that. You just watch a group of boys play baseball today compared to a group of boys playing baseball 100 years ago. They're totally different. Boys that run like girls, that throw like girls, that scream like girls. What's happening to us? So God said, I sought for man to stand in the gap. Men, let's stand in the gap. Step up. And I'm not talking about becoming a bully. I'm talking about you get you under control and you get you to do the right thing. Or there's the destruction. I think our country, slowly but surely, is being destroyed because there's a lack of manhood in our country. And I think churches are being destroyed because there's a lack of manhood in our churches. I'm talking about true, blue, spiritual manhood. I think our families are being destroyed because there's a lack of true, blue, spiritual manhood. Well, I'm going to be done because there's so many things running through my brain right now that would get me in so much trouble. I'm just going to not say them. But destructive behavior number 25. a lack of manhood. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here tonight and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, we welcome you to the Savior. You come tonight, we'll show you how you might be born again. Then may I say to the born-again Christians, to every young man and every adult man, oh, do what the Bible teaches. Get involved spiritually and lead spiritually. And ladies, let them lead and pray for them and hope for them and help them. Something, somebody will be destroyed because some man just won't step up and do what's right. Who here tonight would say, God's spoken to my heart. God has spoken to me. He's spoken to my heart tonight. Would you raise your hand and let God see it? Yeah, lots of hands. Lots of men's hands, and I appreciate that. You may put your hands down. We're going to have a brief altar call. So I'm going to ask the pianist to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed, our eyes closed. If you need a moment at the altar, you come. I sought for a man, but I didn't find one. Why? Well, you're more interested in the flesh than the spirit. A fear of women like Peter. Giving strength to a woman like David instead of going to battle. Chasing after women like Solomon. Ahab was henpecked. Herod let his lust cause him to murder a preacher. A young man got married, but got himself totally out of church and totally messed up. Adam blames his wife and God for his mistakes instead of taking personal responsibility. I really do believe that most ladies don't want to be forced into pressure situations in leading, and I do thank God for so many that step up and get the job done because the men are not. And ladies, if you do that, you should do it humbly and kindly, not hatefully. One more time through the song, if you will, Rachel. Second, we're going to gather some prayer requests and you'll be on your way. I realize like sermons like this are uncommon in this day because everybody's so worried about being politically correct. And I have more a concern about being biblically correct. And men ought to be stepping up in this world and in this government and in our life.